This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings, welcome back to another episode of the Galaxy Wars podcast with your hosts Jim and Tom, and this is the review for The Falcon and Winter Soldier, the whole series, six episodes, 5.5 hours, maybe less, of, in my mind, Marvel's best, because this was one hell of a ride, in my opinion, and we're gonna dive into it, and full spoilers to follow this moment going forward. The fun thing about this is, Tom, you and I really haven't talked about this. Other than a few passing texts, and we were in Tennessee when the second episode came out, and just a few comments here and there, but I'm very curious to see how we get into this.
Yeah, we assumed that we were going to eventually talk about it, so I think that's why we avoid it actually talking about it.
Yeah, normally we talk about every episode on each of our episodes, and when we get to the review, it's like 20 minutes, which this episode might be. Who knows? But let's get into it. Again, full spoiler alerts. Let's just start with the story. We had Sam and Bucky kind of in limbo, not knowing what to do after Steve returned the Infinity Stones, gave the shield to Sam. Sam turns it in. We got a new Captain America, John Walker. We got Battlestar. We get the Flag Smashers who are trying to reunite displaced people from the blip. One people, one world. We get the Dora Milaje. We get Baron Zemo. We get Agent Carter. So many different characters. We get Valentina, Contessa Valentina de Allegra da Costa, de Polis. Yeah. I don't know her name, full name, but we get Julia Louis-Dreyfus. What did you think of the overall story of the Falcon and Winter Soldier just trying to right the ship and stop the Flag Smashers from being the Flag Smashers?
We thought it was, I think, can go back and hear what we thought about it beforehand, or what we thought we were going to be getting into. And we thought it was going to be the lighter story, an espionage story about whatever, kind of what we saw, no real intrigue and emotion, kind of. I thought it was going to be, a break, a mental break where we get calmed down and watch an action show. And I think it went well beyond that. The Flag Smasher story is important. It's kind of the minutia of, and not that it's not fun, but it is the minutia of, what happens to all these people? How are all these people going to be handled? Who's going to help these people, who are displaced from all over the world? It's everything's kind of going on in the real world. That these storylines that are going on in the real world, and they appear in this show that ran 5.5 hours. They're important. They turned out to be really important stories, and we don't often ask the question of what happens to these refugees and what happens to these lost people and the people on the ground. How does a conflict get solved between somebody, that moved into your house while you were blipped away? How do we solve that? What's the conflict there? What do we do? And, we didn't see that directly, but we've seen the Flag Smashers represent the aftermath of that stuff. And, refugees being displaced is kind of all over the world right now in real life. So.
Yeah. They made a grounded show. Well, they took a superhero show and turned it grounded. And I think a lot of people were a little worried about where Marvel was going to go next in terms of their grounded heroes. There was nowhere to go with the Netflix properties, Daredevil, Punisher, and so on.
Yeah.
And what we were getting was WandaVision, Loki, Cosmic, Mystical. We were getting that stuff. And then Falcon and Winter Soldier and Hawkeye are kind of sandwiched in between those. And we're like, oh, well, what's going to happen here? They were successful in creating not only a grounded superhero show, but a real superhero show. It really didn't highlight the superheroics of this.
Yeah.
It highlighted morals and people's beliefs and people's suffrage. Like you said, the stories that they included, when you go into it, I know I thought it was going to be Flag Smashers, Baron Zemo, that was it.
Yeah.
I never thought Agent 13 was going to be the power broker, and until I did. You know, I didn't think that, you know, we were going to get kind of a tease to another branch of Hydra or Leviathan or whoever's Val's coming with. I never thought we were going to get Isaiah Bradley's story. Mm-hmm. And when we got that story, it was huge. And you're looking at it and you're like, maybe it's just like a passing story in episode 4 or episode 5. No, that once they introduced Isaiah Bradley, that was the beginning of a whole nother journey that we needed to go on. And I'm so glad we went on that journey. Yeah. That story was great. The setup for Elijah Bradley in the future to become Patriots there, the setup for Joaquin Torres to become the Falcons there. I thought this series was wonderful. And we look at it from a perspective of the Flag Smashers are the big bad guy.
Yeah.
But they really aren't. It's the establishment.
They're doing the common thing that Marvel always does and make a villain that it kind of like what they did with Michael B. Jordan's characters is a sympathetic, but these, you know, not sympathy, but like very rational villains to have a, you know, a good reason to do it. And they're not villains. They just, you know, like, he's like, even the hero set is like, you know, our labels suck for these people. They're not terrorists. They're not villains. They're just, they're people with a story and we never listen to them. So.
Yeah. And their beliefs just run parallel to what our beliefs are. You know, we may not agree with them and their tactics, but you know, they're fighting for a cause that they believe in, just like when we fight for a cause that we believe in, they may not be on board with it. I think that they delivered on the story. I know a lot of people were kind of pissed off at the ending, but I think that they tied up as many loose ends as they possibly could from episode 1 all the way to episode 6 and left it open enough for season 2, Captain America 4 that they've announced already. You know, we get to episode 1 when we meet Yuri. Everyone's like, especially me, like, when are we going to find what happened with Yuri? When's Sebastian Stan going to tell Yuri about his son? And we get that, the final episode, one of the final scenes. We get Sam reconciling with his sister and, you know, showing the city that he can be a pillar for justice, the face of America, without looking like the traditional face of America. We get Zemo on the raft with his butler. Who's out there just handling business.
The amount of people that know who Isaiah Bradley is probably before this was measured in, you know, maybe in the hundreds, really, because I don't know how long that it was one book, right?
Yeah, Red, White, and Black, I believe.
Yeah, but it was only one book. The style was crazy compared to, it was very like cartoony, you know, not in a bad way.
Yeah, it was very newspaper.
Yeah, it was so different than anything else, and what you're seeing on the page compared to the art is kind of throws you through a loop. And not enough people know about Isaiah Bradley and his story, and you know, his grandson eventually becoming a type of Captain America. I don't know if he becomes the Captain America, but my one gripe is that's a big story, and it does kind of steers Sam into taking the shield. And although Isaiah Bradley's like, leave it behind, it's not worth it, they're never going to care about you. It's actually his words and like how much nobody really does care about him that eventually makes Sam go, you know what, I'm going to make them pay attention to me and our cause, meaning his, you know, all the superpowered people of color at this point from all over the world. So, I think that's an important story, and they didn't linger long enough on his like, the paragraph that he got. And I hope at some point we get more of his story, or if there is a two, and I know we eventually always do this, we always talk about what we think is going to come next. But if there is a season two, I think his grandson's going to have to play a bigger part. And is either going to be like, you know, Isaiah Bradley saying, don't do it, you know, sticking with that, or, you know, helping him out and training him or doing something and doing his part. So,
kind of like when Thea wanted to be in Starling City being Speedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Ollie had a confliction whether to do it or train her or not to train her. Let's talk about the characters for a second, because we got a lot of familiar faces with Agent 13, Baron Zemo, Bucky, and Sam. And then we got new characters, John Walker, Battlestar, Carly, Morgenthau, Valentina. How do you think that they handled the existing characters? Do you think that their stories were told correctly, or do you think that they could have improved the way that they handled the existing characters? Then we'll go to the new characters.
Sam, I think they did a great job with. Story was great. We all knew that he should have took the shield. When he was given the shield, we knew he should have held on to the shield.
Yeah.
I don't think they did enough. I don't think we ever heard enough about why he didn't hold on to the shield. I mean, everybody that was in the know was like, why didn't you just take it? And you're meant to be it. And I guess it's just big shoes to fill. And he says, look, I don't have a serum, you know, and, but.
Well, he also talked about being a black man in America. Like he was on the side of Isaiah Bradley before the speech that, before he even met Isaiah, he said, you know, I can't walk around wearing these. Like, they don't want me as Captain America. And he even reiterated that in his statement in the finale, where he's like, there's millions of people right now, as I save the day, in this suit that don't want me to be this character, this take up this mantle.
Yeah, but his development is good or great. I'm glad we did get him. And, we always saw him with it. And I'm glad they never spoiled the suit, because the suit was a great surprise, and I think it looked great. I think it was one of them. That might be my favorite, comic book accurate iteration of a suit, because it was perfect.
I agree.
Bucky, I just get sadder and sadder with Bucky. You know, I hope he's turning. You know, I turning the corner and healing. Yeah. Because this was hard for him. I don't know. Is he always going to be Bucky? Like, he's never going to take the mantle of anything else up. He's just going to be Bucky, the sidekick. But
I don't know. I kind of thought that maybe they would have explored the White Wolf aspect at the end of the season, instead of saying, all right, well, I'll see you when you're dating my sister, essentially. Now I'll see you when I see you. We're not going to get the Winter Soldier. There's too much backlash with that. Battlestar is dead. We're not going to get a new Battlestar. Falcon's probably going to go over to Joaquin Torres. I would like him to become the White Wolf.
Yeah. And it's not.
Yeah, change his identity, a whole new.
I don't think I don't think, or he might just say, why do I need a name? I'll just become Jimmy Barnes, you know. I'm leaving Bucky behind. I'm leaving White Wolf behind because I can't trust them. I got to leave, you know, all those people that he has identities with are dead or moving on in their own direction, or he wants to leave behind, like the Winter Soldier, Captain, or Steve Rogers is dead, so he's not really Bucky because that's who he was with Steve Rogers. He can't trust Wakandans because they gave him which I think too much was played to that failsafe in his arm. I just, in my mind, I didn't see it as like them betraying his trust. I just was like, yeah, they'll know. But it's a piece of technology that they created. They're just going to know stuff about it. You know, like,
yeah,
it's not a bad thing. They would know about it anyway, no matter what. But I see how what they did.
Yeah, Io told him, you know, you may want to steer clear from Wakanda for a while.
Yeah.
He betrayed their trust.
Yeah.
So he's kind of on, you know, on their shit list at this moment.
Yeah. So I want to look. I think Sebastian. I'm not saying get rid of Sebastian Stan. I think he's great, but I think he needs to come out of this his own person and figure out who he is, and you know, maybe just do Bucky or something, because you know he got a little run of his own at some point. So it's not a, you know, just call him Bucky. Don't call him anything else. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's where they're gonna go with him.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like he's going on his soul-searching mission after, you know, finishing his book, making amends with everybody he had to make amends with. What did you think about Zemo and his dancing, more specifically than his story?
I don't like the fact that, for whatever reason, they made him likable. Now, still, the point that he broke, like, the point that his mind broke is... you know, Tony Stark's fault, and he had as much reason as any of the villains have. Is, you know, it's just, then he took it to an extra level. You know, after a certain point, he was like, screw it, I'm just going to keep going. So the fact that they made him likable is weird to me. And for what? Like, in the end, what's Baron Zemo going to give us? You know, is he going to lead because he's so charming? Is he going to like lead like a ragtag group from the raft or something? I don't know. Or is he going to take over the raft? You know.
Yeah, I mean,
the he can make the Thunderbolts or whatever. Yeah. What's he going to do?
Yeah, my theory is that Sharon Carter is going to break him out, and she's going to be the Mandalorian of the Thunderbolts.
Yeah, maybe.
And like, because I mean, big reveal that they let you know from episode 3 that Sharon Carter is a power broker.
Worst kept secret. And now she's Agent Carter. Internet. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
now she's the, you know, the poster child for pardons and works for the government, but has somebody that she's working with. My theory with Sharon, besides being the leader of the Thunderbolts, is I think she could be a Skrull. And we're seeing the setup to Secret Invasion.
Mm. Maybe. It's so weird because it went so we're talking 5 years, right? She acquired all this. Well,
yeah, satellites.
In her case, probably like 6 years because it was before the snap. I mean, she went to being like the most powerful person in Europe in a small amount of time, with zero backing, with zero built. Like, how did she, you know, learn or acquire all this power in such a short amount of time? It's crazy to me. I don't know.
She maybe just. I mean, that's a whole mini episode that we need.
Yeah.
If she turns out to be, you know, a Skrull, or, you know, now she's the power broker. But seeing her rise to power would have been great. Seeing her taking advantage of the emptiness left by the blip, going to Madripoor when their leaders are down, and establishing herself as, you know, Alpha Dog. I think that would have been great. That would have been like your sixth episode in a 12 episode run.
Right.
The whole Sharon Carter episode. It would be like revenge revival. But I thought they used her character pretty well. I know it was kind of a right out there in the open that she's the power broker, but I still enjoyed the reveal when Carly was like, you know, can't be a power broker if you don't got any power. I thought that was good.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that episode, I like how, or the last episode, finale, they were just like, screw it, we're going to let everybody know. And she just throws acid on somebody's face like, oh, all right, okay.
Yeah.
I guess we all know. I guess that's you telling us you're the power broker. Yeah, I mean, she went full evil. It's not even like she's, you know, affected in any way. She just went full evil only because she backed the wrong side and became wanted. So I don't know. Maybe she saw other people like being accepted back in, and she was like, screw it. If they're not going to take me, I'm just going to rob them blind and take everything they want. I don't know.
Yeah, and then they introduce another character, a mistress of evil, with Val. Do you think that there's going to be a power struggle between her and Sharon if there's a season 2?
Well, that's the thing, is Val has never worked on her own in any odd way. I mean, she's always worked with somebody. And maybe she's working with Sharon Carter, but she's also worked for S.H.I.E.L.D. She's worked for, you know, I don't think she's always nebulous, but not, you know, she's worked for Hydra too.
I don't know. She was late Madam Hydra for a while.
Yeah. But then again, she's out, you know, she's out banging Nick Fury every now and then too. So it's hard to say what side of this she, you know, she's not always on a side. Yeah. She's not always a character. So she, you know, we'll see what she does.
She's like she's like Catwoman.
Yeah, well, exactly. She might just be like that. I don't know. She was kind of big name not to use her in the future. You know what I mean? Like, not to have her used in if there is a season two, not because, you know, then you waste it really her on five lines. Well, delivered lines. It was fun hearing her talk. You know, if you're not going to have Julia Louis-Dreyfus in season two for something, then I don't know why would you do that. I don't know exactly what her plan was. Like, she just said, look, you could go make... I think she gave him the idea of there's not a patent on a circular shield with a red, you know, red border and a star. You could go do that. I think that's where he, you know, John Walker got the idea of making his own shield. Was like, oh, you're right. I can do whatever the hell I want. There's no patent on the suit. There's no... I can go make my own and...
Yeah, if I have it, I'm going to use it.
Yeah. So I think that's where he got that idea and why he did the things he did. But I didn't hear enough from her to get an idea of what her ultimate plan is or who's given her ideas. So.
Yeah, I know that she... I think we're going to get more from her... In Black Widow, actually. She was meant to debut in Black Widow and carry over to this. And because of COVID and because Disney is stingy, they wanted to prolong that theatrical release and they pushed it to June. That would have been the carryover. We would have known a little bit more about Valentina on that. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Let's talk about John Walker and then we'll go into the finale and the future. What did you think about young Kurt Russell, who refuses to play old young Kurt Russell in any revivals of Kurt Russell's movies?
Well, first on that, I'm glad because I don't think he looks anything like Kurt Russell. He's got a whole different shape of face. I don't know. I would never guess it. Anyway, that's totally besides. I'm going to call him U.S. Agent. I don't think they ever did, but that's who he is.
At the end, they said the world's going to need a U.S. agent.
Okay. In U.S. Agent, and I remember these, I bought these comics. These are some of my first comics I spent money on and bought myself. And I bought them out of confusion because on the covers of these comics, it's Captain America drawn differently. And you don't, you know, like 8 years old, let's say, I don't know if that's exactly when, but I didn't make the connection. And I opened that book up and, like, I remember they tried to hang him and he broke the thing and he's smashing people. Like, he's taking the broken piece of wood and he's smashing people's faces with it. And he's butting people in the face with guns and blood's exploding everywhere. He's shooting people. I'm like, this is not Captain America. And it was kind of the same feeling. Like, he is accurate to U.S. Agent in the comic book. A hero, but really troubled, really needs help. And, you know, he and John Walker in the comic books is never turned into a villain. He's never villainized. He's always, you know, he's on the cusp, I remember, always being a villain, but he's more a dark hero. He's more like the Punisher than anything else. And I think they used his... obvious like PTSD and him trying to get out from the shadow of Steve Rogers and, you know, him just trying to do his job and the pressure from higher ups and, you know, his Bucky dies basically in Battlestar. And I think that was the that was the final straw for him, and he just lost his mind and takes the serum, and that expedites his path to craziness. So I think they did a great job with him. I think it was a good character.
Yeah, me too. He took the serum the day that Battlestar died. So, you know, it just kind of intensified his urge to kill and his anger in that moment, kind of hulked him out for a bit. But I think they delivered on that character, and I think that there's a future for John Walker and for Wyatt and, Russell.
You know, the thing is, like, he's never been – he's probably always had pressure, but, you know, the comparisons to Captain America are – Captain America has dealt with the bullying and came from under, you know, and kind of grew up, you know, scrapping and wanting to get to a certain place and had to learn how to fight. Whereas John Walker, not that he had everything given to him, but he was already, you know, a quote unquote super soldier. He was, you know, a superhero without powers, basically. Yeah. And, you know, he took that serum and he felt entitlement, and that's what it got him. I mean, it got him, you know, it made him crazier, and he took it at the worst possible moment where, you know, his emotions were at their most negative. And
yeah,
I think that's where it took him.
Yeah. And now he's US agent. He's working with Val, and he's got a future based off the finale. Let's go into the finale. What did you think of that final episode?
We learned our lesson, I think, from WandaVision, not to impart our own ideas on it and then be let down because they didn't meet a requirement they never said they were going to.
Mm-hmm.
We had, I don't think we ever put any like requirements on this. It was supposed to be a show in many ways, like bridging the gap from where we are to some of the lesser known, like street heroes. Mm-hmm. You know, we're hitting the streets a little bit, you know, that stuff's coming out, and then we're gonna, you know, WandaVision was supposed to be our bridge to Doctor Strange and Extragalactic or whatever, a word I just made up. And this was supposed to be, you know, the knockdown, drag them out TV show. I think the end delivered. I think, you know, they closed, like you said, they closed all the small loopholes and storylines that let the characters go on and do the next thing, like the Bucky finishing his book and doing all those things, and Sam finally taking a shield and saying, I know who I am. You don't have to tell me who I am. I know I'm a black guy wearing stars and stripes. I know it's ridiculous. But I want to make it. I want to get us to a point where this seems right and seems like the right thing to do. And all those storylines that they closed, I think were perfect.
Yeah, I agree. I think they closed the storylines that they needed to and kept the ones open that they wanted to. Bucky, yeah. We know where he's going. Sam, we know where he's going. But they're building towards, you know, the rise of potential Patriot. They're building towards Joaquin Torres getting enough, you know, balls to say, I have these wings, I need to do something. They focused on him during Sam's speech when he was talking about empowerment. That's the moment that we go from there. They kind of closed the Isaiah Bradley storyline, but still left it open for us to revisit that character. The Flag Smashers, they're dead. They're gone. We know that they're not going to come back. Carly's dead. Dovich is dead. All those guys are dead.
But I think Sam kept their plan, like, you know, kept their ideas alive.
Yeah.
By, you know, literally giving them a name and giving them a voice. So
yeah. And then
I think that was important.
Yeah. And then during that speech where Sam said, you don't want to see version two, they left it open for version two to show up.
Mm-hmm.
So having that happen, that, you know, keeping Sharon Carter out in the open to us, but behind the scenes as the power broker to everybody else, was great. Batroc dying, he wasn't going to go anywhere else, so they you know, they wrote him out. Dora Milaje, they didn't show up in the finale. We know where they're going to go, and Zemo's still alive. So we know that whenever they want to dust off that old chestnut of Baron Zemo, we have it. his origin was built, his lineage was built, his power was established. So we know that going forward, mm-hmm. we can use that character. The finale, delivered 100% for me. I was thoroughly pleased with it. The suit was great. All the fight choreography, the way it was shot, the dialogue was amazing. Let's talk about the future.
Yeah, his since he doesn't have the serum, the Rocky montages of him learning how to throw the shield were really good. Mm-hmm. But also the him using it with the backup of the suit, like giving him extra pushes and the suit acting as a shield, and the suit giving him a little extra shielding so he could like make up for his non-syrup havingness. I think that was all fun. That was shot really good and made the suit. It gave me, a little Batman-y vibes, but like in a good way. I liked it.
Yeah, they really did a good job remembering that Sam isn't a super person. He doesn't have any superpowers besides technology. Batman, Iron Man, they made those connections. I got those connections as well. The way that he used the back of the wings to kind of brace his, stabilize himself. The way he used the wings to kind of cocoon himself for a helicopter hit. The new Red Wings, the repulsors, everything that he used was practical and it was believable. He used the shield correctly. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just, Sam doing corkscrew 360s and ripping faces off. He was literally getting beat by Batroc and then realized, hey, look, I got technology. Let's use this. And I thought that was great. I love that they included that. Let's move into the future. It's been rumored that this show and Loki are going to get multiple series seasons. WandaVision was already put into the Oscar contention for limited series, so we know that's only a one and done. But these series haven't. What do you want to see in season two if season two happens and is not Captain America 4?
I kind of want to, I want to see, first off, a title change. I like the title change that we got.
Yeah.
The Captain America and the Winter Soldier. I think that'd be awesome if they kept up with that. I kind of like the animosity that's being built up between Sam and the U.S. government, because he's not their choice. Yeah. He's not who they want. But now that, it's a very modern take on it. Now that it made it to the internet and it made it social media and things like that, it's become a, you can't stop it now. He is Captain America. People called him Captain America. They would have to replace him, and then what are they going to do? They're going to have a Captain America fight. They already did that and it didn't work. Yeah. So I kind of like the animosity, and I'd like to see that kept up. And, even though Sam's going to go out and do missions or whatever for the government, I still like that the government's not behind them. It's not Hydra. It's not, any nefarious organization. It's the U.S. government versus, Sam. Which it kind of was in this a little bit, he couldn't even get a loan.
Yeah.
That was another thing we didn't touch on is how do these people live? Nobody asked that. How do they make money? How do they live? It turns out everybody's broke. All superheroes are broke, except for Iron Man. So I'd like to see that. And I like to see a little bit. I don't know if we're going to see Winter Soldier in every episode. It kind of seems like he's, wants to develop some kind of life down there with Sam, but now that he's finished his book, does he want to move on? Does he want to go someplace else? So
yeah,
I kind of want to see him go on a walkabout and figure out who he is and what he wants to do, and maybe return, make a glorious return in the last half or whatever, but spend some time by himself and spend some time, because he didn't in this resolution phase, he didn't resolve who he is. He just resolved his debts.
Yeah.
and now he can move on. And that's kind of what it looked like to me, like he was going to be doing, or I hope it was. And there's a lot of places that could go, because there's a lot of, you know, debts or, you know, things he could do all over the world. And there's no shortage of places he could go. And I don't know in the end. I mean, my long shot, obviously, I think Sharon Carter is, I don't know if she's going to be exposed as the power broker in it next season, or if it, you know, if it's worth that, or her, you know, her quote unquote boss, but we'll see. I don't know where she's going to go.
Yeah.
I don't know who the big bad would be, but my long shot is, you know, another character has dealt with whose whole foundation is built on this same exact story. And this story could have been stolen from is Alex Bashir. Blue Marvel is, you know, he became a superhero in the 60s, but he was black and nobody would handle it. So he just made everybody forget about him and disappeared. I would introduce him. I don't know how they would do it, but, you know, I you know, his story is close to what they're talking about. And that could be a big thing, but we'll see.
Yeah, I like that idea. I really like the Blue Marvel storyline to be included. I know we talked about him potentially showing up in WandaVision, but that never happened. I'd like three stories to kind of run parallel. You have Sam's journeys as Captain America, you have John Walker's as U.S. Agent, and you have Bucky's as whoever he wants to go by, whatever moniker. But with Bucky, I would like to see him go on the hunt for the new threat when he realizes there's a new Hydra-esque type organization coming out, and it's Val starting her thing again, you know, and that's where the U.S. agent, their story meets. And then Falcon comes in, it's, you know, you or not Falcon, Captain America, and then you figure out where to go from there. You can build in the new sidekicks with Joaquin Torres. You can build in the birth of the Patriot. I'd also like to see the Thunderbolts being recruited into this and kind of leading this up to, like, whether, depending on when they want to do this, the beginning of Secret Invasion, and that's when Sharon Carter's revealed, or the aftermath of Secret Invasion. I'd also kind of like Bucky to join S.W.O.R.D. I'd like him to kind of be the face, the super face of it. I know you have, obviously you have Monica Rambeau as the cosmic face. I'd like to see Bucky as the street level face, and he's the one who has to kind of recruit the next wave of superheroes into, you know, the next big threat. Like, again, if this goes up to Secret Invasion, you see Bucky doing his walkabout, but he's in Chicago and he comes across Mark Spector. He's back in New York and he sees Peter Parker. He sees, no, well, he already knows Peter. He sees Matt Murdock. He sees Jennifer Walters. Mm-hmm. He sees these characters. I'd like to see him be the one who coexists with these characters. And I'd like to see Sharon just start unleashing the B and C list villains that we have in the Marvel Universe that we've been asking for.
Right.
And Madripoor, if that's her base of operation, could be a great inclusion of introducing the X-Men. Not X-Men character or X-Men themselves, but characters from X-Men comics, because Madripoor is huge in the X-Men comics. So if Sharon's there, that's where we start to see the mutants rolling out of, because that's kind of like the Krakoa of the comics now. That's kind of their safe spot for, you know, the wayward youth, the criminals, the miscreants, and the altered. So if the mutants could come out of there, I think that'd be great.
Yeah, but do you want... Do you want our first view of the mutants to be season two of Captain America and the Winter Soldier? Because I feel like that's a movie. Like,
there's a rumor now that they're going to be doing a Wolverine anthology series on Disney Plus, and that could be the first introduction of X-Men, so or mutants at least. So I'm very curious to see where this goes. There's no confirmation of anything. Throwing out Captain America 4 is huge, and that could just negate all of the season 2 plans, and that, you know, that's a movie itself because of how good this was. But the thing that bothers me about Captain America 4 is that they're saying that Steve Rogers is going to return in Captain America 4. So I'm curious to see how that plays out.
Right. Yeah, I'm at a point where I kind of want him to move on. The main timeline, Captain America to move on. Now the what ifs and the stuff like that, where he comes as a zombie, that's all fair game. But everything else, I think they could have Sam take over, and I mean, just to make our connection to him stronger is I think we use him going forward as Captain America.
Yeah. There's a lot there with the Skrulls. Anything's possible. Steve Rogers could return in Captain America 4 and rip his face off and he's a Skrull. Or it could be, after all this cosmic and mystical stuff, they get warped into the multiverse and Steve Rogers, it's Secret Invasion and he works for Hydra and U.S. Agent and Captain America, Sam Wilson have to fight Hydra.
Yeah.
Hydra Cap.
I think that's a possibility. Is the Sam versus Steve Secret Invasion. I think that'd be fun if they ever did that. Went that direction that's how they introduce the multiverse or whatever, or establish the real dangers of the multiverse and I think. That's a big trip for Sam's Captain America. Yeah. So I think that'll be
we'll
fun.
See. But that's it, man. We'll get out of here. I'm gonna give this whole series a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Now, I knew you would. It's not Kong versus Godzilla. This is a masterpiece of a series. We'll be back next week with our full review of Mortal Kombat. So watch that if you have a chance. If you have HBO Max, watch it there for free. If you don't have HBO Max, go see it in theaters. But follow us on social medias. Listen to The Active Geek every Wednesday. We will be back next week. Here's $20. Buy yourself something nice.